Brother McCoy. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your power and your spirit. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for grace. Thank you for mercy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we feel your presence in this place today. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Praise God, praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. And it is such an honor today to be here at Harvest Ministries in Springfield, Missouri. Amen. A lot of history here. Brother Bishop Eddings, known him for 100 years. Amen. And I saw a familiar face on the screen coming in. You've got Brother Mark Morgan coming here in November 3rd and 3rd and 4th and 5th, something like that. Brother Morgan and I were partners in crime at youth camp in Missouri growing up, and we got in trouble together, and he always blamed me. And anyway, but you got a great man coming there, and he's out of this church, so it's a good stuff. We're glad to be here. Such an enjoyment yesterday being with your leadership in training. We had such a fun time and a learning time. You folks are in good hands. You got some great leadership. 2017, I'll say this to you, I said it to the leadership yesterday, 2017, Texas received a pretty big blow when the McCoys packed up and moved to Missouri. It was a loss to Texas, but it was a gain to Springfield, Missouri. Amen. You're doing all right. They responded. Praise God. Anyway. Hallelujah. But I'm excited about today. We're going to get into some teaching here this morning. And then at 1 o'clock, we're going to have a little bit of church. Amen. Anybody involved or ready for some church? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray some people through the Holy Ghost. This morning. Is that a habit or what? Amen. This afternoon. Praise God. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God, giving honor and respect unto God's Word. And I'm going to teach this morning on the subject of the difference between outreach and evangelism. Now, let me just kind of say this. You're a great church. You got a beautiful campus. You got some great leadership. And you've got a wonderful pastor and wife. You're sitting on a powder keg right now. You average about 200, and that is great. I know some missionaries that would love to have 200. I know one in Irving, Texas would like to have 200. Amen. But here's the reality check. 200 is a growth barrier. Y'all got to break that growth barrier of 200 and pop into 300 and 400 and 500. Amen. Because the kingdom of God is not about let's get everything all comfortable and hunky-dory and just idle till Jesus comes. It's growth. It's progression. It's winning more souls because, folks, read your newspaper and listen to the news on the radio, and you can read the book of Revelation in the newspaper. Huh? The signs of the time is being fulfilled. Earthquakes, all these fires, that crazy, insane shooting in Las Vegas. All of that is prophecy being fulfilled. I'm not a prophet of doom and gloom, but I am a realist. Time is short. We need to live for God now, and we need to evangelize now. Amen. We need to get everybody we can in the kingdom of God and ready for heaven. Matthew 28 and 19, the Bible says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." Notice there's an S. always, not through singular, but every situation that you come into, I'm going to be with you. Amen. Even unto the end of the world, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for your word. Your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God, I pray that you will pierce our minds and our hearts today with your word. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, anoint my lips of clay, mind and soul and spirit, that I may preach or teach to this people what you want taught. Let my words be your words and my thoughts your thoughts today. God, help us to receive with passion the word of God today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. If you've been in church any time at all, you have heard Matthew 28, 19, and 20. It is the Great Commission unto the church. Amen. It was some of the last words Jesus uttered to the disciples before he ascended up on Mount Olive. And it was a command or a commission to go ye therefore and teach all nations. One translation of the Bible says, go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life. I like that. Go and train everyone. Everybody shout back at me, everyone. Everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life. A different translation puts that verse as, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. What is that name? There we go. Amen. So, again, the commission is for us to go, not to stay, not get all comfy in our padded pews, to go and teach all nations, or go and train everyone in this way of life, or go and make disciples. Hallelujah. Boy, the anointing is strong. It's just burning up the mic. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. 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 Can you hear me now? Hallelujah. We going to trade up, Brother Long? Test. There we go. Praise God. See, this is the one he was using. He had the good stuff. I didn't have the good stuff. Anyway, so one thing in what we're looking at today is we need to define our terminology. Now, the Bible's the Bible. The Word of God is the Word of God. It changes not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is his Word. In our leadership yesterday, we also clearly understood our method of delivery sometimes needs to change. Not the Word, but the way we deliver the Word. All right? And sometimes our terminology can be a bit confusing. Now, I'm thinking guest. I'm thinking somebody walking in. Not us Pentecostals. I'm a fifth-generation Pentecostal, baby. I was raised under the pew. I cut my teeth on the end of the pew. I was there. I mean, you know, back when I was a baby, revival was Monday through Sunday, 6 weeks straight. You try that today and people will have heart attacks. They'll backslide. Oh, my God, 7 days a week. Are you kidding me? That's it? No more? No amens? Uh-huh. Yeah. I've been evangelist for a long time. Revivals used to start Wednesday and go through Sunday. Then they started on Friday and went through Sunday. Now they have Sunday. Everybody all right? Okay, good. Anyway, our terminology, somebody that comes in, they say, you need to pray through the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? Huh?
So in other words, we got to get it to where they understand it. The unchurched is why we exist. Yes, we get the Holy Ghost because we want to get to heaven. Yes, we live for God, holy and righteous, because we want to be obedient to the Word of God. Amen. Because if I ask a show of hands, how many of you today want to go to hell? Raise your hand. Nobody? How many of you want to go to heaven? See, it's 100%. Nobody wants to go to hell. Everybody wants to go to heaven. So we're going to do what we need to do to live right, to live righteous, to live holy, because we want to make heaven our home. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not really the whole ball of wax. That's not the whole thing. It's winning more people. It's taking others with us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go make disciples. I wonder sometimes when we get to heaven and we stand before the great throne, the great white throne in judgment, if God is going to look at us and said, man, you lived right, you lived holy, you lived righteous, but you didn't win anybody. I sent somebody for you to witness to and you ignored them. I'm gonna give you a little a personal. When my wife and I got married 37 years ago, she's a very blessed woman. Is this Facebook Live? Oh, good. Anyway, when we got married 37 years ago, I was an EMT, and I pulled time on the floor of the hospital in Paris, Illinois. I was just telling Brother McCoy, I'm a city slicker from St. Louis, okay? I pick my corn from the shelf of the grocery store. There is no country in this boy, okay? I got the crazy idea, hey, let's get out of the hustle bustle of the city and let's live in Paris, Illinois, where they roll the streets up at 6. Walmart closes at 5. Now, I'm kidding there, but I lasted 6 months. I said, honey, let's go back to St. Louis. I think I need to go to Bible college or something. All right, so I was an EMT, and I was pulling. And ironically, a patient was assigned to me that was dying with cancer. His name was Dr. Terrell. Dr. Terrell was the actual doctor that delivered my wife into this world. He was dying of cancer, and I cared for him every day. And God began to kept pushing me, witness to him, talk to him about his soul. And I was young, stupid, and shy. And I kept pushing away. I was shy about telling this doctor about Jesus. I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'd go home from my shift, and I'm going to do that tomorrow. And then tomorrow came, and I go back, and I got my list of patients one day, and guess what? Dr. Terrell wasn't on my list. And I went to the charge nurse. I said, how come I don't have Dr. Terrell? Well, and I'm sorry, but Dr. Terrell passed away last night. I lost an opportunity of a dying man to tell him about Jesus. It's haunted me to this day, and I've often wondered if I'm not going to stand in judgment and Dr. Terrell is going to see me and ask me, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Folks, we've got a commission on us to be soul winners. We've got a commission on us as much as living right and living holy and being at church every time the doors are open and worshiping God. Thing we got. We've got a commission and we've got a purpose to be a soul winner, to tell others about Jesus. It is our job. It is our calling, and it should be our passion. Amen, somebody. And so we've got to understand the difference between outreach and evangelism. Now, very quickly, outreach is just that. It's outreach. It's reaching out into the community. Outreach is scheduled events that's going to reach out to the community or bless the community. Adopt a Block, Compassion in Action, Operation Matthew, Block Parties, Life in Focus Education, and so on and so on and so on, where we schedule this event and we do it and we reach people and we pass out cards and we do some kind of event. We do a give back. We give away bicycles and all of that to bring people to church and win or touch the unchurched. Amen. This is where we're reaching out perhaps to a demographic. We're going to reach the Spanish community. We're going to reach the Asian community or whatever. It's again reaching out and going for a demographic and serving our community by being a blessing to that community. Amen. I was sharing with the leadership yesterday that an outreach we just did last month is that we partnered with the city of Irving for their Main Street event. They block off Main Street, downtown Irving, car show, craft booths, food booths, concert stage, kids area, and all of that. And I approached the city. I said, we want to be a blessing to the city. Can we get a spot and do some community stuff? Now, we didn't take text and preached. We appealed to the community. We reached out to the community. And lo and behold, through all of the conversations, they gave us a stage, paid for it, tent over the top of it, printed a big banner presented by Solid Rock Church. And so, you know, free advertisement. And then we partnered with Hannah for Hope, Teenage Suicide Prevention Organization. We did a balloon release of those that we lost in suicide. We had Mike Kinslick, of the offensive lineman for the Dallas Cowboys back in the day. He did a piece on peer pressure. We had a martial artist who did a piece on bullying and broke boards and all that stuff and reached into the community with a message. In the meantime, we're passing out touch point cards, and we're going to do a giveaway tomorrow morning. We had 90 in church the next day. We average 50 right now. Literally, there was standing room only in our little worship area. Every chair, and then we had plastic chairs in every spot. It was literally packed. And we had 18 kids in our kids' rock area. Get it? Solid Rock Church. Kids Rock. Anyway, so again, that's outreaching. But I want to talk to you this morning on evangelism. There's a difference between evangelism and outreach. We are all called to be a soul winner. And the way we exercise soul winning is through evangelism, because evangelism, opposite of outreach, which is reaching out with an event, is relational. All right, evangelism is building relationships with people that enables us to minister to be people. It's building trust with somebody. Lifeway Research surveyed over 15,000 people to form the result that there's five top. I need another cup of coffee to get the. Anyway. The result of the survey was the top five ways people are most willing to receive information of a local congregation. Number one, 63% said that they will receive that conversation with a family member. Relational. Number two, 56% personal conversations with a friend or a neighbor. Relational. Number three, 48% informative ad in the newspaper, 46% outdoor sign or billboard, 46% said they'll come or have a conversation because newspaper or magazine advertising. You notice we went from 46 to 63% of the people surveyed out of 15,000 people said that they'll receive information about a local congregation from a family member, a friend, or a neighbor. It's all about relationship. All right, so if we're going to be soul winners, yes, we need to have outreaches, and we need to have big outreaches. I mean, we need to make an impact. We need to get Harvest Ministries' name and logo out in the community, and they can give directions. Oh, you want to know? I know where Harvest is at. You can go down right here, turn right, and turn left, and boom, there you are. That's what your city needs to know about this church is where it's at. Because you've hosted an event. But folks, the real meat of being an effective soul winner is developing relationships with people that they are going to give you permission to tell them what they need to do. We've got to build a trust with our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, and whoever we meet that will be able to say, look, this is where you are, and this is where you need to be, and I'm going to tell you how to get there, and they allow you to do it. Everybody all right? Amen. So nothing brings people to church more effectively than people bringing people. Okay, let me give you an example. It's been a minute now, but we did a big crusade in Gaithersburg, Maryland with Brother Ron Libby. Church, at the time, they got a new building since then, but I think back then it was like 1,000 seats or maybe 1,500 seats. And they took out a full-page ad in the Washington Post. Yeah, everybody go, whoo, because they spent some money in that newspaper. They did a big billboard on the Beltway in the Washington, D.C. area. Everybody say, whoo. Yeah, they spent some money on that. And then they also ran advertisements on a local radio station about this crusade. Then they printed up cards, touch point cards of the information of the crusade, date and all of that. And people started inviting family, friends, co-workers, neighbors, and all of that. Crusade day came, and the place again was packed. I mean, there was no aisles in the sanctuary. People's knees were literally touching the altar from the rows of chairs that they had to put out. They opened the back doors of the sanctuary and filled the foyer or the lobby with chairs, and people were sitting out there. There were hallways on the side of the sanctuary. They opened the doors and lined the hallways. They couldn't see anything, but they can hear. There was over 3,000 people packed in that church that day. During the service, Brother Libby got up to the pulpit and said, out of all the folks that are in this crusade today, how many are here because of the full-page ad in the Washington Post? No one raised their hand. I would have had a heart attack right there, spending all that money and nobody came. Okay? I'd have needed a prayer meeting on the spot. How many of you here because of the billboard on the Beltway? Nobody raised their hand. How many of you here because of the radio advertisement we did on the radio? Mother and a daughter on about the third or fourth row back here raised their hand. Two. Yeah, definitely got to have a prayer meeting now. All right. Then he took one of those touch point cards and said, how many here today because somebody gave you one of these cards and invited you personally to this crusade? Half the crowd raised their hands. No, nothing brings people to church better than people bringing people. Go get your friend, your neighbor, your coworker, or your coffee shop buddy, your McDonald's coffee shop. Lord, they need to be there. You're drinking McDonald's coffee. Again, folks, it's called lifestyle evangelism. We've got to practice lifestyle evangelism. It's got to be a lifestyle. I shared with the leadership team, and I'm not going to give you the whole gory story, but I used to be almost 400 pounds. I've lost 160 pounds, and no, I didn't have surgery. And everybody asked me, oh, what kind of diet you on? Man, if I created this, honey, I would be one. I'd give a lot to missions. But I'm on no diet. You see, a diet has a beginning and has an end. And when the end comes, you go back to what you used to eat, and you gain it all back plus 10%. I had three closets, small, medium, and large. Okay? I had to make it a lifestyle. I haven't drank soda in 7 years. Can't say that about coffee. I did quit coffee at my doctor's recommendation for 3 years, and then I backslid. Anyway, my lifestyle, I don't drink soda, okay? I'm a vegetarian. I don't eat meat. My son's still at, Dad, or yeah, my son will say, Dad, Grandpa would be highly disappointed in you. He's trying to shame me back in. I said, dude, I'm not eating meat, so forget about it. It's a lifestyle for me. You can meet, and I live in Texas. I always loved a good challenge. Soul winning has to be a lifestyle. It cannot be a fad. Oh, we're going to get excited about soul winning. It has a beginning. It has an end. And when it ends, you forget about it. It's got to change. It's got to become a lifestyle. Just like what we live and how we dress and how we act is a lifestyle change, soul winning has to be a lifestyle. We've got to practice lifestyle. In other words, you get up in the morning and hopefully you take a shower before you leave. It's highly recommended you put clothes on before you walk outside. Most people eat breakfast. It's a lifestyle. It's what you do. Some ride a bike. Some don't ride a bike. It's a lifestyle, all right? Where our lifestyle as a Holy Ghost-filled saint of God is that we tell people about Jesus. We share our story. It's what we do. Why? Because I was here and I was a mess and God fixed me and put my family back together. I owe it to God to tell somebody else about the saving power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Woo, I'm having fun. Y'all have fun? Good. Praise God. It's 12:30. Anyway, all right, here we go. Jesus was known for his time with his disciples, training them, eating with the unchurched. He was criticized because he ate with the sinners. He was known for talking with everyone from the rich young ruler to the prostitute. He did big crowds, but more time was spent one-on-one. Study the life and times of Jesus Christ. There is your model soul winner. I don't know where that come from. Anyway, that...
Was that laying there?
Okay.
Let's get it out of my way. There you go.
He was known for spending time one-on-one with people. Look, folks, the math is real simple. How many think we got in here right now? Guesstimate. 95. Can I tell you a little funny side story? Brother Haney was awesome. Y'all know Brother Kenneth Haney, our general superintendent, pastor of Solid Rock, Christian Life Center. He was awesome, but he wasn't good with numbers. One Holy Ghost rally we did, he's leaned over to me. He goes, Brother Snyder, how many we prayed through last week? I said, we prayed through 374 people. Oh, great, wonderful. He got up not 5 minutes and got all cranked up and said, we prayed 500 through the Holy Ghost last Sunday. And I'm like, Bishop, I just told you 374, not 500. That's why I said guesstimate. So we got about 95 people. Let's round that up to 100, okay? 100 people sitting in this auditorium. If you will go spend time with one person, and get them to come to church with you next Sunday, you just double this crowd. There's 200 sitting here. If all those 200 will just go get one, just one, you will double the crowd again. The math is simple. It's called compounded interest. Amen. Now, Let's back that off just a little bit. Let's slow down the rate of growth. If each one of us in the next 6 months will get one person to come to church, you'll double your crowd in 6 months. So a church of 200 will go to 400 in 6 months. If the same ones will say, okay, I got one, now I'm going to go get one more, two a year, you will absolutely double or triple your church in a year's time. Just that simple, folks. Use the model that Jesus gave us in relational evangelism or lifestyle evangelism, spending time one-on-one and building trust and building a relation so that they'll receive it. Amen. Let's talk about five ways of overcoming fear of witnessing. Fear is the number one barrier to personal evangelism. It's it. Fears are real. Whether they're preconceived or real, okay? You know, you're walking down a dark street or a dimly lit street, alleys on your left, you know, and you're kind of walking and you're like, I don't know about this neighborhood. And you walk by that alley and you hear a noise. All of a sudden you're afraid of what's going to come out of that alley. And really the reality, it was a cat that knocked over a can. That's preconceived, okay? That's imaginary, all right? Now you're walking back down that same street, and a big old dude jumps out and points a .357 at your face and says, give me all your money. That's real. That's really real, okay? The emotion that you feel, whether it's real or perceived, is just as intense. So you think you're afraid of sharing the gospel with somebody, the effect is still the same. That we have to overcome fear. We have to get rid of the fear in order to be able to be successful in fulfilling Matthew 28 and 19. Fear comes in many shades and colors and both bold and subtile. And again, perception is everything. What we think is real. Okay? Perception is everything. People look at something, come to an assumption. It doesn't matter if it's truth or not. It's real in their mind. Okay? It's what people perceive. If you perceive that soul winning is some kind of big, scary some another, it's very real to you, and really it's very simple. And it's very easy. You talk about Starbucks. Ooh, I want to go get me a caramel macchiato. What's a caramel macchiato? Ooh, you never had a caramel macchiato? Hello? I'm going hunting this weekend. Oh, yeah? What are you going to hunt for? And here we go. Hunting 101, 201, and 301 in the next hour. You have no problems talking about that. Why? Because you're comfortable. Get comfortable with your salvation. Get comfortable with the gospel. Amen. Woo, hallelujah. So again, what are we afraid of? I mean, I told the leadership we were talking about Bible studies, and people are afraid to teach Bible studies. Listen, folks, you're not going to do them any damage. If you teach a Bible study and you mess up and you're not successful, trust me, you're not going to mess them up any worse than they already are. Hello? If anything, you will add value to them. Brother Rex Johnson, I probably shouldn't tell this story, but it really proves a point. Brother Rex Johnson, way back in the day, had this guy, and please don't be offended. I'm just trying to make you smile and get the point across. But he's just a few fries short of a happy meal. He just wasn't, you know what I'm talking about. He come, Brother Johnson, he said, I want to teach a Bible study. Brother Johnson was scared. He said, all right, I'm going to let you teach a Bible study, but you got to make me a promise. You don't teach anybody but your family. Okay. So he gave him a chart, told him a little bit how to teach a Bible study. He left. 20 minutes later, maybe a half hour, not very long, guy calls Brother Johnson. Pastor, I'm done with the Bible study. You are? You mean lesson one? Nope. All 12 lessons. Pastor, can you come to the church? He said, for what? He said, I got 21 of my family members wants to be baptized right now. Hello? Anybody home? You understand that point? You ain't gonna do them any damage. If a guy like that can go out and teach a 30-minute, 12-week Bible study and have 21 people at the baptistry ready to get baptized, you can do it too. Hello? Amen. So what are you afraid of? Go try. I promise you, if you'll try, God will anoint you and give you a miracle in the process. But you have got to go and do something. You got to take the first step, and God will take the second step. Amen. Oh, man, don't come up to that keyboard now. I'm not even in. Go sit down. No, I'm kidding. Lord of mercy. I still got 7 habits of a successful soul winner. All right, let's go 4. Habit number, how much time have I got left? 5 minutes. Habit number one of 4, let me do at least four. Soul winners are prepared. They're spiritually prepared. They walk close with God. They are prayed up. They maintain constant devotional life. This is some keys in being successful in a soul winning process. They are active in the church. Soul winners can't show up to church once a month. They got to be there every time the doors are open. They attend worship. They attend morning manna. They're a part of everything that's involved. They are trained. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subvering of the hearers. Study. To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. Soul winners need some training. Amen. Habit number 2, soul winners share Christ anytime, anywhere. Every opportunity. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 through 8. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whosoever a man, or whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Amen. Sowing good seed anytime, anywhere will definitely reap a harvest. Anytime you plant a seed, you're going to get something back. Plant that seed at the office. Plant that seed in the neighborhood. Plant that seed at the coffee shop. Plant that seed on the airplane. Wherever you're at, over the phone, every opportunity, plant the seed. So habit number 3, soul winners are adaptable to their presentation of the gospel. You got to shift. Remember, gospel doesn't change, but deliveries do. All right? So again, you've got to change it up, become personal, become conversational. I met a guy, a young man. We were sitting at the charging station at the airport in Dallas, and he was watching a movie on his phone. I was journaling in my journal, and we struck up a conversation, and he's from Springfield, living in Irving, ironically. Huh? Ain't that something? And we got to talking. Then we got on the plane, and guess where I sat? Right next to Brother Springfield. I said, looky here, they're putting 2 Missouri boys in the same row. And so we got to talking. I started talking to him about church. He goes to church all the time. He works for a guy that goes to church. They have prayer when they open up the shop. He's a mechanic, you know, all that good stuff. I didn't get a chance to send him to Harvest Ministries because he lives in Texas, but I was conversational on the airplane. I mean, what best? They can't go nowhere. What are they going to do, step out at 30,000 feet? Amen. So again, get conversational. Well, praise God. If you want the rest of this lesson, talk to him and schedule me for another weekend, and I'll be back. Amen. Let's stand. How do you like that one? Woo! Amen. We're going to have church here in a little while. How many's going to help preach with me today? Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. God, we praise you. God, we glorify you. Lord, bless us. Help us to become passionate about being a soul winner. Help us to be practicing evangelism, lifestyle evangelism. In Jesus' name we pray.
Praise the Lord.